no, I'm not saying that it should be.
And really, the book wasn't dealing with that's more of a micro issue. I was trying to deal with the macro issues, but in other words, that's like, you know, one of the smaller things I was trying to deal with, like culture. You know, how we're the arc of the book is how our insane thinking is leading us to these things. That's a great symptom of how what our insane thinking is doing. And I would submit to you that it was probably, again, the nuclear power industry and the nuclear weapons industry, which in many cases are the same companies, just saying, you know, just like with fluoride. Fluoride is the byproduct of the production of aluminum. And it used to be that it cost them, you know, hundreds of dollars a pound to dispose of fluoride because it's a toxin. And they said, well, let's put it in the water supply and charge for it. We can turn this liability into an asset. We can make money with this. Out here, here's another example. Down in California, because they have so many cars in such a concentrated area, particularly in L.A., they were finding very high levels of benzene. Benzene is one of the naturally occurring chemicals in gasoline and oil, and it's a high fraction of gasoline. It does burn, and it's a little more volatile than many of the things in gasoline. It evaporates more easily, and it is one of the most potent carcinogens that we know of. It's an incredibly potent carcinogen. And so California passed standards that said that the benzene and gasoline had to be below a certain threshold. I forget what the amount was. So to dispose of benzene legally, so the oil companies down in California, they took all the benzene out of gasoline, as they had to do. It's not all that hard to distill it out. And so they got all this benzene. Well, benzene costs a couple hundred dollars a pound to dispose of properly. So what do? They mix it in with the gasoline that they're selling us. I'm talking to you from Portland, Oregon. We've got very pure air and not a lot of cars. And, you know, the wind's coming in off the Pacific. They mix that benzene in with our gasoline.
That's right.
And our Senator, Ron Wyden.
Okay, we got a 3-minute break. I apologize. We got a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with the Power Hour and Tom Hartman. This is Joyce Riley. Stay tuned.
They brainwash my great uncle. They watch my cousin Bob. They even got my grandma when she was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're cheating, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your prime.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been brainwashed. And you know what? We're coming out from under all of that. It's taken many years for many of us. It's taken many programs like the Power Hour. And yes, Tom Hartman's program, which is an amazing program. By the way, you remember he replaced Al Franken on Air America Network. And Tom Hartman is out there in the mainstream. He has a little bit different audience than we do at the Power Hour, and I'm interested in what his audience has to say. I'd like for you to go to his website. Check it out, tomhartman.com. I do love listening to him, and there's a lot that I won't listen to. I just choose not to. I'd rather have a CD in if I'm on the road and traveling. And, of course, in this next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Truod about where did this vaccine come from, and even more importantly, where did the swine flu come from? In talking with Tom Hartman, I had mentioned depleted uranium that was not in his book. Not that that was a criticism, that it should have been in there, but Tom, I think that where we differ, now you supposedly, I guess, would be on the left. I am on the right. I was in the military. I would have probably been labeled a right-wing person, but a lot of what we agree on is that there is the problem. It might be where the problem comes from. But yet we have had this division placed between us, and it's really Demopublicans and Republicrats. It's really not left versus right. It's right versus wrong. And yet we have been encouraged to be apart and not come together on our issues. You and I both agree on depleted uranium. But yet there is a left-right paradigm we're supposed to subscribe to. And I don't subscribe to that, by the way. But the question is, I think the U.S. government is so culpable in so much of what is going on right now that it's going to come down to in the streets before people or before anything is done about that. Your opinion on that?
You know, I have a lot of problems with our government and our loss of liberties, particularly under the First and Fourth Amendments. The Second Amendment's at risk in a lot of places. The Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments have, you know, were just absolutely trashed during the last 8 years, and arguably going all the way back. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt interred the Japanese. It was the beginning of this kind of thing. Woodrow Wilson, these were both Democratic presidents, by the way, passed Alien and Sedition Acts that were very similar to those John Adams had passed back in 1789 that in my opinion, were clearly and patently unconstitutional. I think that the left-right divide is encouraged by our corporate media, because the real divide, and it's not a divide between you and me, Joyce, the real divide is between the corporate masters of this country, and let's face it, most of them are transnational corporations. They're not even American corporations, even though they have the friendly face of American corporations. It's between the corporations of the world and we, the people. And the corporations have virtually seized complete control of our government. And this is a process that Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican president who I have tremendous respect for, I play clips from on my program often, you've probably heard, warned us about as he left office. Beware of the military-industrial complex. It's now become the military-industrial media congressional complex. and
medical also.
Sure, toss it in there. Yeah, I mean, it's all... There's virtually no aspect of our lives these days that hasn't become corporatized, that hasn't become the province of corporations. And these corporations own the news, the big news companies, and they're doing their best to convince us that it's not them, it's government. And as I said, I certainly have a lot of problems with government, but at least I can go to a member of Congress's office and talk to a staffer or pick it outside, or send them letters, or work to vote them out of office. If I try to do any of those things to Bill McGuire, the guy who took $1.78 billion as CEO of United Healthcare, or his successor, whose name I'm forgetting, the current guy, who's sitting on $744 million worth of unexercised stock options, and this is just for his last 4 years of work as the second largest health insurance company in America, I can get arrested for trespassing on private property. I have no speech to them. So my call to action, and I hope yours is similar, is that while we need to speak out, we need to speak out loudly, we also need to take the system back, and that means showing up. People of good faith who consider themselves conservatives need to show up and take back the Republican Party from the corporations that have stolen it. And people of good faith who consider themselves Democrats on the left need to show up and take back the Democratic Party from the corporations that have stolen it. Because, as you said, it's, I forget your words, but they were perfect. The merger of the Republican and Democratic mm-hmm, parties into this one giant corporate entity. Regardless of what you think about healthcare, we're certainly seeing that right now. These big corporations flexing their muscles, saying, "Oh, you think you're going to have the government negotiate drug prices? For our seniors." For example, with Medicare Part D, and it's criminal, frankly.
It is.
This is not what the founders of this country imagined, was that we would, A, have a landed gentry like the Walton family, where you've got the five richest people in America from one family in there, and they're behind the scenes pulling all kinds of political strings, and B, that you would have these massive corporations that can live forever, that claim human rights, the Fourth Amendment right of privacy, the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, which is how my dad died. They knew back in the 30s that asbestos killed people, and yet he was exposed. He worked in a tool and die shop for 40 years. He was exposed to it continuously. They lied about it, and they said they had a constitutional right to lie about it. Tobacco companies did the same. These are serious crimes, and I would say from the vaccines to the depleted uranium, to the things that are coming out of our jet exhaust right now, right across the board, you will find when you dig, just brush a little sand off the surface, you will find a major transnational corporation under there.
But I'd like to think that the corporations are at fault, but I don't think they are. I think that this is an agenda. I mean, all we have to look at is Obama, who's the last great hope coming along, and he's going to get us out of the war zone, right? Now they're saying, oh, we just can't win Afghanistan. I mean, I've been in the military, and you're telling me that we've got to be 9 years in a country that doesn't even have a military, They didn't even hardly have any guns, except for the ones the United States has now provided the bad guys over there. And they're saying, oh, well, we just can't win this war. And the poppy production is off the scale. Tell me that is not by design. I mean, we're seeing these things happen by design. Obama's not the answer that everybody thought he was going to be. And now we're in a mess. We're in a mess because we see it being culminated in the swine flu, quote-unquote, alleged epidemic that I am really fearful is going to be the last great control issue of this country. The systematic dismantling of this country is taking place, and people are starting to wake up. People are starting to get the message, and people are getting involved, and thank goodness before it's too late, because none of us want to see this happen. Tom Hartman is our guest today. He has a national radio talk show listed in Talkers Magazine as, I believe, being the 10th largest talk show host audience in the country. And you can go to Tom Hartman, and that's T-H-O-M, if you're driving and you want to get it later. Hartman with two N's, and we thank him for joining us today.
I think that our Second Amendment is under attack, our Third Amendment is under attack, oddly, and nobody even knows what the Third Amendment is, which is quartering soldiers in homes. And you know, we haven't seen that quite yet, but I think that, frankly, New Orleans was a rehearsal for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the extension, the obvious extension of the Third Amendment was, you know, is all this concern about FEMA and what are we going to do in quarantining people and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, yeah, here we go, right, down this road. I may disagree with your caller in that I still don't, I acknowledge that government is a problem, but I think that if we did not have bought and paid for congressmen and women, that we could have good people there.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Paul on the right and Bernie Sanders on the left, and neither one of them's taking corporate money, and they're the only ones who are telling the truth.
Boy, you're so right about that. But we also, and when you say, let's vote them out, let's go visit them, let's go see them. I've been to Washington so many times.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying show up at the local party. Run for the local party. I know people who have infiltrated. I use that word infiltrated. I'm more of a green, I guess, than a Democrat. But you know, get in, and libertarians should be taking over the Republican Party.
Yeah, absolutely. We've only got
inside.
Can you stay with us 5 more minutes, Tom?
Sure.
Okay, 5 more minutes with Tom Hartman. We'll be right back after this 1 minute, 10 second break. We can't vote him out. Seen HBO's Black Box voting program? We'll be right back. 1 minute, 10 seconds with Tom Hartman. This is Joyce Riley and the Power Hour. So glad that you are joining us today, that you have an inquiring mind that says, I want to know the truth over and over again, no matter what the issue appears to be. We want to know the truth. Welcome back to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're entering the third hour of the Power Hour today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring outside the television cage. So much is happening in this country, and I'm so glad to see people like Tom Hartman who are understanding the real problems. Now, he understands the problem. Now, where we see the responsibility, the accountability, that may differ. But you know what? We're coming to an understanding. But let me ask you this question. Are your listeners starting to figure it out that Obama is not there? And I'm going to focus on him because he has the power to be doing this right now. He is not the answer that we thought he was going to be.
It looks increasingly like he's turning into Bill Clinton, and that concerns a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill Clinton governed, actually, he wasn't, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, in my opinion, was a better president than Bill Clinton.
Wow. And what we're looking at right now is a rising, a public that is rising up. I mean, my listeners are there. Glenn Beck is not so far from being correct in some of the things that he has said. And, oh, by the way, I did want to give you public commendation on the way you handled yourself on Bill O'Reilly. You did an amazing job. That was really,
But I respect it.
Well, for what he allowed you to say on the program, I mean, I thought it was really very good. And I do want to commend you for your book, Threshold, ladies and gentlemen. He sees the problems. You know, you and I, as we've discussed here, may see where the accountability is a little bit different. But you see,
I think the reality is both. We've got a corrupt government and we've got a corporate system that is raping us.
That's right. And that's what he looks at in Threshold, The Crisis in Western Culture. Tom Hartman, thank you for joining us today and spending time in your valuable time in your day with us on the Power Hour.
Thank you, Trace. It's been an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so very much. Listeners, I would encourage you to listen to Tom Hartman. You know, sometimes we think progressive. Ooh, I can't listen to progressive. I would be out of my comfort zone. No, being out of your comfort zone is learning that there are people sharp, really sharp, like Tom Hartman, like Renee from North Carolina said. Let's not discount these people. I'm not saying that that means you want to start taking in everything Bill O'Reilly says, but no, listen, because he does support what he says. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break with the Power Hour. Dr. True Ott will be joining us. Stay tuned. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third hour of the August 12th edition of the Power Hour. I really, that was an interesting hour last hour. I'm so glad we had the time with Tom Hartman. Enough about Tom Hartman, but he really is an amazing person to listen to as the country's number 10 talk show host. I thank you for joining us today on the Power Hour, and I know you are going to absolutely love hearing from Dr. True Ott this hour, getting back to truth and more truth. Dr. Ott received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Southern Utah University in Cedar City, Utah, in 1982. He went on to receive his Doctorate of Philosophy in the field of nutrition through the American College in Washington, D.C. His dissertation followed the groundbreaking work of Linus Pauling and asserted via independent research that each mineral on the periodic table of the elements in its pure hexagonal crystalline form resonates a specific Hertz resonant frequency based on its atomic weight and unique electron configuration. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased to have him here today. We carry the minerals that he has now created or worked with formulating for those of us at the Power Hour. And I am just so pleased to have him join us today. Thank you, Dr. Ott, for joining us in the Power Hour.
Thank you so much, Joyce. It's a privilege and honor to be here this morning. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I have to tell you, your work is just awesome. In the books, by the way, that we carry at the Power Hour, Secret Assassins in Food. And if you think your food is safe, that you're eating at the just about anywhere, we'll read this book, Secret Assassins in Food. And Wellness Secrets for Life. I love it. It's an owner's manual for the human body. Let's get into the issue of, before we talk about staying well and keeping our bodies healthy, let's talk about the alleged swine flu epidemic. Now, do you call it alleged or do you call it the swine flu pandemic?
I call it the Breivik, Alaska, by way of Fort Detrick swine flu.
So you say it's real. It's just where it came from that we might.
Well, absolutely. It's easy to get suspicious of motives because it's happened before in 1976, an absolutely false flag operation. One person allegedly came down with a swine flu at Fort Dix military installation, and the whole world went a little bit nuts as far as America's concerned, right?
Yeah.
So it happened before, so Americans are like saying, I have other things to worry about. But I'm here to tell you, listeners, you should be concerned. It is real. There's no doubt in my mind personally that this virus was reverse engineered in the laboratories of Fort Detrick. That it has indeed been released, and it's been done very, very interestingly by a worldwide computer model, going back to Proma software and the outgrowths of Proma software into what's called the Oracle database and software system. And they can actually track and predict where these gene clades will mutate and how they will, and it's pretty accurate. So make no mistake, this is a world agenda that will take front page headlines this winter.
Now, on our website, we have the article by Dr. Ott, the startling new evidence that the swine flu pandemic is man-made. And of course, you go into Novartis. And I think we need to name some of the bad guys here, if you will, the real bad guys involved in this, because once we do recognize that it is man-made, we have to start looking at who did it. And it's about time, and I'm just so glad that you are. Let's talk about this issue of Novartis and all of the bad guys.
Well, let me just emphasize that everybody's innocent until we prove them guilty in a court of law. And so to label them a bad guy is kind of a little bit premature. Let's just say there's some real clouds of suspicion around them.
Okay.
Okay, let's be politically correct here.
I'll label them bad guys because of other things, other reasons, but go ahead.
Well, they have done their work wrapped up in the cloak of science, and that's basically how they've gotten away with it. But the facts that we know that are inescapable and absolutely proven, beginning in 1997, a man named Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger went with his team to Breivik, Alaska, of one place in particular, but there they found in the permafrost grave a specimen of the 1918 killer virus, which they needed to come back to Fort Detrick and analyze with the supercomputer data to be able to analyze what made it so deadly and then be able to break it apart and then, quote, reverse engineer it into a workable, for the best way to describe it is a biological weapon. Why else would you go back and reverse engineer a killer virus if not for use by the military-industrial complex on a worldwide scale for a specific agenda? That's the only thing, come on, that makes logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Taubenberger said in his journal papers and published papers that he was doing this completely to get a new understanding of viral structures, but he also let it slip that he was creating a vaccine for this killer virus. Well, isn't that kind of like going back and extracting DNA from resin and creating a velociraptor egg so that you can hatch the dangerous dinosaurs and leave them in a public place so that you can test your new weapon against them?
That'd be an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, that's the equivalent. This killer virus was actually a result of vaccines. The book that that you mentioned, Charles Higgins's book, The Horrors of Vaccination, pretty much, to me, gives conclusive evidence that the people that were vaccinated with typhus fever vaccine starting in 1915 into 1916 were the ones that eventually developed this killer virus. And we just have to look at what Taubenberger himself has determined is the components of this killer virus. He did this in 1997 in his first initial report published by Science Magazine. Taubenberger said this was a reassorted virus, meaning it was a combination of other gene clades, specifically a novel A strain of swine influenza, H1N1, bird flu, H5N1, bird virus, and three specific strains of human influenza. So it clearly came from different human gene pools, somehow it got mixed into swine virus structures, and then mixed in with birds. Now, the PBS television special called Killer Flu, a part of the Secrets of the Dead series that they had a few years back, did a great program on this. You can get copies of this actually from Amazon.com, and you can see how the investigative team today went back and reconstructed the origins of this 1918 virus. They very clearly traced it back to military camps and bases during World War One. That's where it originated and came out of. And so they realized now, with interviews with Taubenberger on this special, that it came again from swine slash humans into the bird flu. So they were trying to figure out how this could have happened. Were there chickens and turkeys and pigs in these military installations? Joyce, what they really didn't focus on, I believe by design, is to look at this typhus fever vaccine that Charles Higgins did in this book, in the 1920 book. The typhus fever vaccine took infected pus from typhus fever sores of humans, and they harvested this from different outbreaks on different continents. Okay, they took these pathogens, injected them into swine to increase the antigen material, and then put them into incubate in chicken and turkey eggs. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and literally injected this concoction into millions and millions of troops, and as well as civilians during the 1917 era and into 1918.
And we don't ever ask the question, why did these things always break out at military installations? 1917, 1977, and now they're saying, well, 51 troops in Iraq now have swine flu. Oh, duh. Listeners, I have to tell you that the military is used as the primary trial site for these vaccines, have been for years. And so what does the military do to get away with their defensive posture on this? What they say is, well, but they're so closely put together in these barracks. That's why they all get sick. That's the reason. Oh, like people in jails and prisons aren't, or people in dormitories and colleges aren't. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, it's because they have been vaccinated and it's virus shedding of the vaccine. Now, the book that he was speaking of, Horrors of Vaccination, is the most amazing book I've seen in years, because this is a book by Charles Higgins, like he was talking about, from the year 1920. It looks like an old book. It looks like it. It is an old book. It's just printed newly, newly printed. But this book is going to turn your life around if you actually believe a vaccine is good for you. We're going to be right back after this four-minute break with Dr. Truot. Stay tuned.
We're not going to take it.
Ooh, perfect.
We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to take A, the swine flu vaccine. B, the fraud that's going on in the government. C, I mean, we could go on and on and on with the things that we are not going to take anymore. And thank goodness we're not alone. The people rising up and saying, not no, but heck no. Well, it's happening. And it's going to have to happen even more. So thank goodness that you are out there. Thank you for listening to the Power Hour today. And thank you for people like our guest today, Dr. Truot. Because of his credibility and his writings on this subject, we're making a large impact in the people understanding that you're about to be given something that is not necessarily meant for your health, welfare, or happiness, believe me, and that is the swine flu vaccine. Go to today's guest, Dr. Truot, and you can see the books that he has written. The one we were just talking about, though, is The Horrors of Vaccination. He did not write that, because it came out in 1920. If you ever, ever wanted to understand anything about vaccines and the fact that they've known this since 1920, get the book, Horrors of Vaccination. It is really incredible. And you know, Dr. Ott, I'm so thrilled you found this. You know, I thought I had been through just about every book on vaccines because of what happened to me when I got my own personal ox gourd during the Gulf War with vaccines. But I had never seen this book. And I'm so thrilled you found it and republished it, because this is an answer for a lot of people who don't want to accept people today saying that vaccines are bad. They've known this since 1920, haven't they?
They haven't. You know, I appreciate your comments, but I just need to give credit where credit's due, if I could. Dr. Rebecca Carley actually gave me this the manuscript. She found it. And I saw the immediate value, and I knew I had to republish it. So I was just a cog in the wheel, Joyce.
Well, thank you for republishing it, because it is most important.
Absolutely. I began to read the manuscript, and I said, oh, my golly, this has got to be republished. The copyright's long expired. This manuscript was actually given to President Woodrow Wilson in a ceremony, trying to get him to see the incredibly perverse situation behind forced vaccination of our U.S. troops. He made a convincing case. You shouldn't force the recruits coming in that are already put into a very strange element to have this this poisonous juice shot into their veins and expect it to be a good thing. Anybody that refused this vaccine was branded a traitor and put in the brig for a year or two. I mean, you lost your freedom if you didn't take the vaccine. So.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's way far away from where we are right now, isn't it?
It is. And
No. I'm being sarcastic, because we're looking at the very same thing taking place now, unfortunately, in this country, which is if you don't take the vaccine, you may be separated from your child. We've got this new working group, you know, FEMA working group on how to deal with children separated from their parents. Wait a minute. Nobody's asking the question. Why would they be separated from their parents?
Well, yeah, those are all good questions and good points. And, of course, you've got the Army itself and the National Guard recruiting for internment specialists. What is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to raise some really red flags. But, you know, so there's something very wicked coming this way.
When they're, you know, all these people that say, oh, that couldn't happen in America, they are now hiring on Monster.com for internment specialists. Oh, how much more evidence do we need than the guy coming to your house and saying, hey, come with me? I mean, we don't need any more evidence than that. Anyway, I'd just like for you to deal, if you would, with Novartis, because I have a personal grudge against Novartis, given the fact that they are involved with the squalene issue, and squalene is probably what gave me my demyelinating disease, as it does many people, gives them a demyelinating disease as a result of using this artificial adjuvant. Would you just talk about Novartis for a second, please?
Well, yes, I need to probably get you a lot more information, Joyce, to publish, because there's a lot more that have come out since that article I've written. We actually have the patent of Novartis for this vaccine. That's an amazing read itself, okay? On the second page of this patent, page 2, section 0032, paragraph, we see the declaration that this virus that the vaccine is targeting is actually, quote, may, they use the word may, be a reverse engineered virus that's been locked into human plasma.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have the patent number for the squalene there handy?
Well, it's not the squalene, it's the vaccine.
Okay, do you have that?
Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but it's on my computer. I will be happy to email it to you.
All right, we are going to be back after this three-minute break. I am so sorry. I'm going to let him go after this three-minute break. And we're going to talk about staying well this time. What do we need to do? And are minerals part of that? I mean, actually, a little tiny liquid mineral, could that make a difference? We'll be right back with our guest today, Dr. True Ott. Get Horrors of Vaccination, ladies and gentlemen, at the Power Hour, along with the other books by Dr. True Ott. Back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Going wrong is right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. My guest today is Dr. True Ott, and I thank you for supporting the Power Hour by calling 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, or go to thepowermall.com. You know that we have the best, I think, made-in-America products that we can possibly find at thepowermall.com. Dr. Ott, let me ask you, we know the swine flu is bad. I don't think there's one person in this audience that's actually going to even consider taking it, but how do we say no to this vaccine? And what is your answer to the response to your people who ask that question?
Well, first of all, you have to have a sound understanding and knowledge of the issues. And then you have to be armed with literature and information to pass out to friends and neighbors and to your health department. I've come to find out through my own experience that these healthcare professionals that are make up the health departments just simply don't know the issue. They think that the opposition is just a bunch of right-wing conspiracy nuts, and they don't see that there's real scientific backing behind it. So to that end, we've created a pandemicfluonline.com. Dr. Sherry Tintinney is part of this movement with myself and other professionals. You can go into kind of a one-stop shop for everything you need to know about pandemic flu. Go on to that. You can go into the community toolbox section, and there is a number of trifold brochures you can download.
Fantastic.
Print them out. Give them out to people as you need to. But first of all, you have to be aware, because if you're not aware, you're going to be just part of the flock of sheep going into the shearer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we really want people to be alert and to become armed with information. And
now,
that's the first step.
Now, I know you have a petition there. Do you actually think that a petition is going to be given any kind of attention? Do you think that will be effective?
No, honestly, it's not going to be effective other than galvanizing people to say, hey, what is this issue? It's a flash to get people to say, let me find out what this is all about, okay? That's what I look at it as. You know, of course, presenting 50,000 or 100,000 names to CDC, they'll just say thank you very much and file it away. But it's going to galvanize people to look into the issue.
All right, let's talk about exemptions. State exemptions, obviously, are not going to be effective. They're not going to work for this swine flu epidemic because this one is, quote unquote, so bad that they're going to have to enact an executive order to overcome that. So now what do we do if we want to say no? What are you going to do, Dr. Ott, to say no to the vaccine?
Well, it just if it comes to it, I'll go into a detention center.
Wow.
I'd rather be in a detention center than have the seeds of a very dangerous disease growing in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually people will can't put everybody in a cell, okay? And believe me, there's a groundswell happening here. There's just too many unknowns with this vaccine to even remotely think it's safe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I draw the attention to people as I lecture and give presentations. You know, we have something in this country called truth and labeling laws. If I'm producing a mineral product, you know, I have to make sure the FDA approves my label. It has to have a clear and honest disclosure of ingredients. And especially if I go across interstate lines and into interstate commerce. And it's like that with any product, okay, put out by corporate America. I can go in if you follow the advice of my book, A Secret Assassin in Food, and you learn to read labels, you learn what's in a pack of Cheetos, for instance, or a Hostess Ding Dong. If you don't want that in your body, nobody in the government is saying, you must do it. You must force this into your veins. Mm-hmm. You have the choice with that not to consume that product. Why is it that this, the whole truth in labeling laws is concerning this vaccine is being ignored and thrown out the window? Nobody, and I repeat, nobody knows definitively what's in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried, written letters to CDC in numerous public radio shows. I've demanded to know the content, and I've petitioned the health departments to tell me. They don't know either. So how can anybody in a white coat come and say this is good for you when they don't even know what's in it?
Well, you know, that's so similar to what happened in the military. Now, you know, everybody says, well, yeah, but that was military, Joyce. You were in the military. That's totally different. Oh, no, it's not. I joined to be a flight nurse, not to be a person that unsubscribed to the Nuremberg Code or unsubscribed to the Constitution just because I wanted to serve my country. So we get the vaccines, but we're not told what is in them. We're told you will take it or else. And yet now they're able to say, and I have always said what happens in the military will happen to the civilian population next. And sure enough, that's where we are. They're saying, you line up, you take this. We don't have to tell you what's in it. We may not even know what's in it. And besides, we're in such a hurry that we have to give it to you like right away. Well, the military, the active duty military, has already been told it's either 1 October or 1 September, they are going to be given three shots, mandatorily given three shots. Now, we don't even know why they need three shots, and they don't even have to tell us why there's three shots. You know, the people that are acquiescing to this, I can't imagine where they're coming from.
Well, they're coming out of ignorance primarily, I submit. I think if you go back to the Gulf War situation in your particular case, if you had even an idea of what was possibly in that, there might have been a different outcome. You might have just united with the group and said, we want informed consent.
Well, absolutely. I was one of those that bought into the system. I was a good nurse, been an RN, you know, for 30 years. I was a good nurse. Do everything that you're told to do. Don't ask any questions.
Are you aware of Gary Matsumoto's book, Vaccine Eight?
Oh, I've got it sitting right here in front of me. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
So absolutely, we know from his footnotes and his impeccable research that squalene is just deadly no matter what percentage or form it's in these vaccines. So do we have an absolute proof of these vaccines going to have squalene? Well, again, we have no definitive statements that it is, other than the World Health Organization's July 13th announcement is still on their website. It's a proclamation and recommendations by their 13 wise sages, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they announced that in this situation, it's totally fine and acceptable to have the vaccine have A, squalene or the water adjuvant, and B, live attenuated viruses. It's right there in their publication. Juxtapose that with Matsumoto's research, and then you go back to 2004. Do you remember the shortage of seasonal flu vaccines that we faced in this country? It made headline news everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we had a shortage, people, is because Chiron, the main government supplier, had a random inspection and they found attenuated live virus contamination in their seasonal vaccine of that year.
Wow.
So they shut them down. They wouldn't allow them to come in and be given to Americans. Why? Because it creates the disease itself. So here we have the World Health Organization in their public documentation saying, it's okay now. Well, you can have attenuated live viruses in this vaccine along with squalene. Are you kidding me?
I know. All you need to remember is virus shedding. That's what it's called, ladies and gentlemen, virus shedding. When you get a vaccine, and then you start shedding that and giving it to other people. Oh, is there a way that we can stay healthy? I mean, do minerals play a role in actually staying healthy and perhaps not getting the swine flu or any flu for that matter?
Well, yes. We have there's all kinds of research on what silver does. Our mineral silver is very, very concentrated and has an extra electron base added to it. It makes it much more absorbable and powerful against viruses. So silver is a great idea. Iodine combined with silver is a real good 1-2 punch. And I would also throw zinc in there to really strengthen the cell walls against the viral infestation, okay? But I got to be honest with you. I don't care what supplement you take. If you have squalene in your body, you're going to have a problem.
That's right. That is so true. I don't care how you take care of yourself or how you eat. I don't care if you eat a 100% raw diet. If you've got squalene in there, which collects and goes to the brain also, you are going to have problems. It causes neurological damage. It causes diseases like MS, which is what I was diagnosed with. My diagnosis was almost like MS, but not quite. I mean, I couldn't believe he actually wrote that down because I didn't know what it was.
Right.
After the first Gulf War, all they knew was it was demyelinating. And that's what squalene does. It demyelinates the body or demyelinates the nerve endings, removing the myelin sheath from it, and you end up basically misfiring. I mean, I've never told what really happened to me and what I experienced during that time, but I actually thought it had to be like of a demon. I actually thought it had to be demonic what was happening inside my body, because unless you've had a demyelinating illness, you have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, Joyce, I know that you've taken the proactive steps to get back and be functioning, but so many of your colleagues, our Gulf War veterans have relied on the VA and medicine to give them weekly and daily drugs for the rest of their lives.
That's
to function.
Right.
This is part two of this agenda. Novartis just happens to have immunosuppressant drugs to counteract the effects of squalene.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is a huge potential windfall in billions, if not trillions, of dollars of profits.
And
that's the main motivation as I see it. Eventually you could bring in the argument of depopulation agendas, eugenics, and that's all part of the World Health Organization / Club of Rome agenda. But first they've got to take your money and pick your pocket and take your property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's step one as I see it.
Well, it's, you know, you would think that in this country right now, what you mentioned about the other Gulf War veterans, you would think that Gulf War illness was just a Prozac deficiency, because that's what everybody gets once they have Gulf War illness. That's all they have to give them. It's we can't figure it out. Here's something to hopefully make you be quiet about it. And that's so sad, because listeners, you have no idea. Again, I want to repeat, you have no idea what happened to these people and Guillain-Barré and Lou Gehrig's and all the other things that happened as a result of demyelinating illnesses, and how we have a country now of sick veterans, and they're being kicked to the side like dead animals. And that's,
well, yes, Joyce, thank you. But, you know, the thing that comes out real clearly with Matsumoto's work is the healthier the individual, the more vibrant and vital their immune system is to begin with, the more deadly the squalene reacts on them. Because what squalene does is it causes an immune boost, a powerful T1, T2 burst of activity that causes the demyelinating problem where your immune system attacks your central nervous system. So the healthier you are, the more deadly the squalene can be to you. Now, think about it. If you wanted to silence a nation and make them easy to manipulate, the first thing I would do if I was a conspirator was to take out my opposition in the form of able-bodied men and women. And this is what this vaccine, in my opinion, will do in spades.
This is so, so incredibly demonic in and of itself, listeners. And yet, when they are pressed to address the issue of the squalene as to why they have squalene in this, because Novartis has been public about it, what is the response, the politically correct, lying, fraudulent response from the pharmaceutical companies?
We're in a real epidemic rush here. This, the same excuse they used for the squalene in the anthrax vaccine, Joyce. It's like Matsumoto said, we have to go to war real quick. We need a quick fix. So squalene was added to say this is the only option you have. And so 150,000 people were used as guinea pigs, you included. That ought to make you mad. It makes me mad. You know, absolutely a travesty and criminal activity, okay?
And, you know, these poor Gulf War veterans, let me just interject here, that these Gulf War veterans are being seen as being, oh, they're fringe element now, they're a threat to us. No, the government attempt through the DOD and the Veterans Administration attempted to try and kill these people with something they knew. I mean, it was like manslaughter. And yet we're not supposed to be upset. We're not supposed to be saying anything, and we're certainly not supposed to say no to the swine flu vaccine. Of course we're going to. But, I mean, this was murder. This is wholesale murder. What's going on with depleted uranium right now is murder of these people. And yet we're supposed to sit back and go, oh, I think I'm going to twit on this subject. I think I'll Twitter. I'm so mad I'll just Twitter in bold and capital letters. That's all we're supposed to do now. It's no wonder these people are committing homicides and suicides and not able to control themselves.
Well, I want to go on record as well. I think we have enough evidence now to seek a U.S. attorney to convene a grand jury and bring indictments on the people that made this happen.
Oh, well, how refreshing that sounds, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. Our guest today is Dr. Truant. This is Joyce Riley. The Power Hour will return. Stay tuned.
Power to the people.
Yes.
Power to the people.
And now. Ladies and gentlemen, power to the people who know what's going on. Now, if you know more about Michael Jackson's autopsy report than you do about the swine flu, please don't listen to the Power Hour. This is not for you. This is a waste of time for you, because what we're talking about here at the Power Hour is probably your future. That's right, and the future of your children. Dr. Ott is joining us today, Dr. Truant. You can go to his website or go to the petition. Let's see here. PandemicFluOnline.com, PandemicFluOnline.com. They almost give legal advice, not really, but there is some representative information there for you on the subject of saying no to the vaccine. Now, you say that you've got a team of lawyers working on this. I think we all do, because we all want to be able to say no and say it appropriately. Let me ask you the question, though, of going forward, going to your local sheriff or whomever and saying, no, sir, I'm not going to be taking this vaccine. Do you think that is advised, sir?
Well, absolutely. The sheriff departments have a front line of defense, you know, against the feds. And I'm here to tell you that it's not just going to be federal troops, our U.S. troops. No, they're going to be bringing foreign troops to enforce this. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that in my mind, okay? So it's going to come down to basically a form of civil warfare, ultimately. I'm saying a peaceful warfare, because the pen is mightier than the sword, I believe. Okay? It's going to be an incredible war of propaganda as well. Make no mistake, starting after Labor Day, the advertising campaign that's going to be brought on with this will just be amazing. So people need to just start being made aware now as much as possible. That's all I can say. Information is the key thing here.
You know, there are people now that are saying, literally, if a gun is put to my head, I will not take this vaccine. I mean, that's how serious a small portion of the population is. But we've got to get a large portion of the population feeling that way.
Exactly. And I think what will happen to this is that we need to bring criminal charges against these people that have manufactured this, and then hopefully prove that they have released it and how it was done. Okay. There is. I'm going to send you some information that will show that this was absolutely a designer release. Okay.
I'd appreciate that very much. Now let me ask you: the lawsuit that's going forward brought against the WHO by a reporter. Have you heard anything about that? Is it?
It's all completely fluff. Absolutely a publicity stunt.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Burgermeister was a part of our original team. The information that she had gathered into her, quote, criminal charges came from our team and our resources, again, being compiled to bring the correct steps into the Department of Justice and to issue indictments. She went off on her own with putting a name such as Barack Obama at the front of it, and went on her own campaign and publicity stunt to bring attention to her. And absolutely against our advice and wishes when we came, that this is not the way to go. it became a very nasty...
I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry to hear that. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Power Hour, Dr. Ott. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Joyce. Thank you so much.